Morning, everyone. I am glad that we are here today. Back at Mother's Day, we were still doing remote services. We have a pretty firm rule in our house: no kids in the parents' bed. I know not everyone does that. Some of our peers, some of you all, kid wakes up in the middle of the night, upset, bring them into the bed, comfort them. We don't do that in our house. We like a little thing called sleep, so we don't do that. But occasionally, weekends, special occasions, we'll make an exception and we'll bring the boys up into the bed. So back at Mother's Day, we were doing the online services, and so pretty early in the morning, more or less first thing, I went over and I got the boys, I brought them back into the bed, and this sentence had to be said out loud: "Buddy, don't kick Mama in the face on Mother's Day." Not long after that, they were both giving me a back massage and just letting her completely by herself on the other side. So I thought, if they treat her that way on Mother's Day, Father's Day, I better get out of here. So I'm glad that we have services today. I do want to speak to you on the topic of fatherhood today, the significance of the father's voice, the significance of hearing it, the significance of speaking it. There's a Christian author named Tim Bailey who has written that really there is fatherhood in at least three different arenas of life. Of course, there's fatherhood in the home, dads, fathers there, but there's also fatherhood in the church. There are spiritual fathers, elders, pastors, spiritual leaders, mentors, and then there are fathers in society at large. There are civic fathers, civil fathers. So you have civil magistrates, policemen, business leaders, community directors. And of course, in any of those areas, we have abuses of the role, and we also have great reflections of the role in any one of those three. I'll even say some of the men who have had, one hand is not enough to count the number of men in my life who've had a significant impact who have not had biological children of their own. There's fatherhood all over the place. And I think what we would agree is that we need men in each of those areas who know their role and who live it out the way God made them to. So I pray that the sermon today hits on at least three different tiers. On the first hand, in the first level, I hope it helps all of us hear the voice of our Heavenly Father. And I'll give the usual disclaimer here. Some of us have had great fatherhood experiences, and others of us have had rough fatherly relationships. And so if you've had one of the bad ones, God is not a bigger version of Him. He is a misrepresentation of the good your Heavenly Father has always been. So I pray that this helps all of us learn to relate to and hear God as our Heavenly Father for all of us. Second, quite simply, I pray it helps men specifically. Guys who are here, I pray this today helps you hear God and relate to Him as your Heavenly Father. And then third, for those men who are here, whatever your role, whichever of those three arenas, I pray, I hope that today, having learned something of what it is to hear God as your Heavenly Father, it enables you, it uplifts you and inspires you to leverage your fatherly influence the same way you have experienced His. It's just one main verse today, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. This is a verse that has just resonated with me for quite some time. It's been a personal prayer of mine for a number of years. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn there, Isaiah 50, verse 4. If not, it should be on the screen behind me here shortly. As we talk about seeing 2020 spiritually this year, I want us to remember that there are other spiritual senses involved. So seeing 2020, but today we're also going to talk about having our ears opened as well as our eyes. So hearing the Father's voice, Isaiah 50, verse 4, from it going to identify just that He speaks to us regularly, personally, and graciously. Let's begin. "The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. This is the word of the Lord. When I say that this verse is showing us how God speaks to us regularly, I don't mean that it's something rote or boring or predictable in a negative sense. Like you can just put God in a box. You put in this, you get out that. I don't mean that at all. Quite simply, I just mean that there is a repeated, ongoing aspect to how he communicates to us. It's an ongoing thing. I considered using the word continuously, but there are some Christian groups who have used that term to try to undermine the uniqueness and the authority of Scripture. And I don't want to go anywhere near there. You know, they're saying he spoke then, he's speaking the same way now. I'm not touching that. I'm not going there. But at the same time, it's not just, you know, one and done. That word of his that is sealed in stone is alive and active. And he still speaks to us through it. So there is this ongoing aspect to how he communicates to us. It's morning by morning, Isaiah says. He is talking to us. He's wakening our ear daily, day after day. You are meant to hear the voice of your heavenly Father every single day of your life. You're meant for it. It's been said, and I've shared this before, every single day is like a mini resurrection. It's like a foretaste, a type of resurrection. At night, you lay yourself down, you go horizontal, inactive, you don't move, at least most of us. Some of us move more than others, but you, for the most part, you don't move. It's this death-like state, sleep. And then each new day, what does he do? He brings you up out of it. He raises you up. He lifts you up. He gives you a new day to live. Do you want to know whether God has anything to say to you today? How can you know? He woke you up. He got you up. He has given you, he's the one who wakes us. He's given you this day to live. And everything, all creation came from his voice. Genesis 1, Psalm 33, all life is from his voice. The fact that you're alive means his voice is already there in your day. The question is, are you going to listen to it or not? Hebrews 1, he sustains all things by his powerful word. Your life is not going to work without his voice. There is no life without his voice. So, you know, stop a little and listen morning by morning. That's the first aspect of him speaking regularly. He speaks daily, Isaiah says. The second aspect is he speaks early. Morning by morning, he speaks. He wakens my ear. There is something about getting to him, going to him early in the day. I'm not knocking evening devotionals. Do those too. When you go to bed at night, it's good to wrap up your day processing and reviewing what he has done and where you failed in confession and committing yourself to him anew as you lay down in that death-like state. It's good to do that too. But if the whole idea of devotions is hearing his voice so that his framework becomes your framework for how you go about and engage your world, well, it just makes sense. You want to do that as early as possible, right? If the only idea of devotions is it's this thing that you got to check off that you did it day after day, then I guess it doesn't matter when you do it, morning or evening. As long as you get it in there, it doesn't matter. But if the whole point is I want to hear his voice, I want his thoughts to become my thoughts, I want the way that I see the people around me to be the way that he sees me and he has shown me that, then you got to do it first thing in the day, early, morning by morning. At least that's the general pattern. And personally, I have not mastered this. I can tell you I can tell a difference in my life on the days when I get it right. I get his input first thing versus days whenever it gets pushed back for whatever reason, for one reason or another. What do we mean when I'm telling you that Isaiah says he speaks to us regularly? I mean, it's daily, it's early. Third, it's biblically. It's scripturally. He wakens my ear. He gives me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, the term here for word is not the special term for the law of the Lord, or Torah, or Bible. It's not the special term. It's just the generic term for word. Like what anyone says to you, if anyone is speaking at all, what they're going to use are words. Nevertheless, this passage has close connections with a cluster of other passages that all point to where we're headed today. And many of those other passages, Psalm 40 is the foremost, go on to speak of that which has been written in the scroll. That which has been written in the law of the Lord. And so I think I can say it in this setting without too much deliberate proofing. Whenever we read this, whenever we talk about this in a Christian setting, the primary way we are talking about hearing the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Father, is through this, the Bible, His Word. Even several prophets after Isaiah, the prophet Ezekiel, the Lord says through Ezekiel, prophesy against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own imagination. You can do that. You have this thought. How do you know whether it's you or him? How do you know whether it's your imagination, something you dreamed up, or whether it's something he gave you? How do you know? Did it come from here? I'm not knocking, I'm not disallowing subjective impressions of the Holy Spirit, but this is the starting point. This is the foundation. The doctrine of inspiration is the Holy Spirit guided the writers of this. The doctrine of illumination is the Holy Spirit guides the readers of this. As we read, He is there by His Holy Spirit, opening it to our minds, applying it to us, interpreting His Word to us. John 16, He, the Spirit, will guide you into all truth. It doesn't mean you can't make a mistake. You can be reading this and have some thought that you concoct, and then you blame it on God. It's not saying you can't make a mistake while you read it, so you got to have community, and you got to have humility. Submit what you think you're hearing from Him to others, and have a willingness to be corrected. Nevertheless, He is there. He is active. He's speaking to us through this. How are you going to hear His voice? Daily, early, read. And listen. As you read, not just these are the chapters I got to do, check, close it up. I just opened Isaiah 50. That was pretty cool. Not just open it, check off the box. I read my chapters. I go on with my day. But no, open it to listen while you're reading. The crazy thing is, the awesome thing is, to say that God speaks continuously does not undermine Scripture. It actually is predicated upon it. This is how He continues to speak to His people. So this is a heart cry for men to be in the Word. Here's the last aspect of how He speaks regularly. There is also an element of He speaks quietly. He wakens my ear to listen. When I was a junior in college, I saw something that continues to shape the way that I parent to this day. I saw an exchange between a father and his young son. A mentor of mine had me into his home. It was a social setting. There were quite a few people around. And during that social scene, his young son, he was 5 or 6 or 7, somewhere around there at the time, his young boy did something that was not terribly wrong, but it was something that was worthy of being corrected. And it was something that most parents that I had seen in that phase of being a young adult, most parents that I had seen would have handled either by snapping, cut it out, raising their voice, sternly scolding him, or just ignoring altogether. But this dad did not do either of those. Instead, he scooped up that boy into his arms, and he sat down with him on his lap. And with his arms around that 5-year-old boy in his lap, he began to whisper. To whisper into his ear. Not loud enough that anybody else could hear in the midst of that little party going on. Quiet enough that only that boy could hear. And he began to whisper, I presume, things like, I love you. I like you. I care for you. This is why what you just did is not okay. And this is why we're going to do it differently from here on out. But I'm proud of you. I'm so glad that you're here. And he put him back down. The little boy went back and continued to play. And watching that, I remember being mesmerized. I was amazed at how calm the dad stayed, and I was amazed at how calm the boy stayed. And in that moment, I said to myself, and just on the side, this is why, for those of you who have ever done Christian ministry in any capacity, this is why you know you cannot quantify ministry. These were not on-the-clock hours. This was just a social gathering, having people into your home, a little dinner party. But in that, he was off the clock. But that moment, out of all the time we spent together, that's one of the main ones that has stuck with me for more than a decade. So you want to do ministry? Have people into your home. Life on life. Right? And if you're a Christian, you should want to do ministry. You don't need a title. You don't need a position with a church or with any other organization. Get people into your home. Live with them. You'll be doing ministry. Right? That's on the side. In that moment, watching this, I said, that's the kind of dad I want to be. And I've not gotten it perfect, I promise you. You could have hung out with our family yesterday. There are way too many moments where I raise my voice too much, too easily with our boys. And also, I know there are times where it's appropriate, it's necessary to be stern. There are times where it's appropriate, it's needed to do the discipline. If you have kids or God gives you kids, for the love of God, spank them. For the love of society, spank them. For the love of them, spank them. In love and in self-control, right? That's a paraphrase of Proverbs in Hebrews chapter 11. There are times where that's appropriate. Just simply watching that, realizing there are also plenty of times when the whisper will do. Even when the whisper will be more effective. So watching that, I said, that's the kind of dad I want to be. And watching it, I also said, and that's the kind of son I want to be with my Heavenly Father. That he can pick me up, he can pull me in, and he can talk softly, and I will listen. And he'll have my attention. Know today, he speaks. He is speaking. Sometimes it's a boom. Sometimes it's in such a way you cannot but listen. Sometimes he gives the boom. Other times, and I think increasingly far more often, it's a whisper. It's so quiet. And you know how this works. There's enough else going on in our lives. We're busy enough. There's enough other noise. If you don't still yourself, you're not going to hear it. It's a whisper. It's quiet. He wakens my ear to listen for it. So if it's that quiet, how are you going to hear? It's pretty quiet first thing in the morning. Daily, day after day after day, early in the morning, I read, I listen, and he speaks. So I pray that for all of us, that we would hear our Father's voice through his word. I pray that for the men in here specifically, and then I pray for those men in here, turn it around. Whatever fatherly role God has given you, that having heard his voice, you would begin to speak the same way to whoever is in your charge. That you would begin to speak in a steady, ongoing, consistent, affirming, loving kind of way. That you would communicate verbally to whoever is in your charge, I love you. I care about you. That they would wake up greeted with the sound of your voice. That you would say, this is where we are headed and this is why. And all of it would stem from, would be the overflow of what you are getting from your Heavenly Father. The significance of the Father's voice. Hear it. Convey it. That's first, regularly. Second, he speaks personally. He wakens me. He wakens my ear. He has given me an instructed tongue. This is not, Isaiah is not just saying this is what he does for everyone generically, this is what he does for the many, though that is true as well. No, this is something personal. This is something specific and relational. I think you could even say customized. He's going for Isaiah specifically, and he'll do the same for you. It's going to be personal for you. Now, any good dad seeks to be fair, right? Any good dad wants to love his kids equally. But part of being fair is taking into account the personal factors that are different from one child to another. I'm not talking relativism. I think you know me well enough to know I'm not going there. Not talking, hey, whatever works for you, we're going to do this, and whatever works over here, we're going to do that. Totally different. Simply that there is truth, and the way we're going to get each of you there is going to be custom tailored to who you are. A couple weeks ago, following the second service, you guys at first service don't get to see this, but a couple weeks ago, following second service, both our boys were acting up. Pastor's kids. Some of our moments of greatest challenge as parents consistently come on Sundays. Before or after the message, or for Danielle during. You want to pray for us? That's the way you can pray. Grace to be added in those moments. You've just spoken authoritatively about what a whole bunch of people should think and how they should live. You get down and you talk to somebody who's this high and they don't listen to you. How are you going to respond? Pray for grace to be added. So a couple weeks ago, we're back there. Both boys are acting up. And I handled it totally differently. Our younger son, he's younger. He's a bit more emotional, those of you who know him. At least a bit more expressive. Whatever he's feeling, it's coming out. We said yesterday he's coming out in spades, right? Whatever he's feeling. And he was just coming off of a birthday weekend. For 36 hours, he was the center of his own world. All the big people were giving him whatever he wanted. They were giving him all these presents. He had way more sugar than he was used to, way more sugar than he should have had. He was spent. He wasn't sleeping well. We come in. We finish church service. He's been used to being given whatever he wants, and I told him no. Something really small. You can't do that. No. And he lost his mind. He went nuts. You want to see a show? Come to second service sometime. Hang around afterwards. He went nuts. And on that day, what I did is I picked him up in my arms, and I held him right here, and I let him cry it out. I don't always do that. Sometimes we do the confrontation, it stops now. But that day, trying to take into account all the pieces of where we were and who he was in that moment, I let him cry it out. Actually, I gave him back to his mom because that's what he wanted. But I tried, I held him for a while and let him cry. While I'm holding him, the same 5-minute span, big brother starts to push the limits. Now, big brother is older. He's more mature. That might be a temperament thing. It might just be an age thing. We'll find out. And he was coming off of a weekend that was much more routine. Maybe even the rational side of him might have watched all of this and thought, hey, we can get away with whatever right now. I don't know if that was at play or not, but he starts to push the limits. And while I'm holding younger brother, letting him cry it out, this one got the look. And you know what I'm talking about. If you don't knock it off right now, this is going to go someplace you don't want it to. And he stopped. Now, in that moment, an outsider who did not know us could have looked at it and said, what's up with that? That was unfair. Why did you do it that way? Do you love one of them more than the other? Why were you more stern with this one? And even for something that was a much more minor offense, are you just being unfair, just being inconsistent? No. I have the same goal for both my boys, and that is that they would be conformed to the image of Christ, that they would be godly, mature, respectful men who are a blessing to anyone who has the privilege of coming into interaction with them. That's my goal for both of them, and the way that I seek to be a vessel of God using me to get them toward that end varies moment by moment based on whatever's going on for each one of them and who they are, their temperament, their capacity, their ability in that moment. Not relativism, not I've just got one set of rules for you and one set of rules for you, and I don't do it perfectly. That's in my best moments. Sometimes I just do the quick answer, same across the board. But in my best moments, it's taking into account who they are, how they're wired, what they've been through, And then with that in mind, what's the best way to get you moving forward? And you better believe your Heavenly Father will do the same for you. He speaks personally. He wakens me, my ear, not some abstract ideal. He knows who you are. He's going to speak personally to you. You can trust him to do that. You can trust him to speak personally to others around you. We don't need to intervene nearly as often as we think we do. He alone knows perfectly someone's background information and what's appropriate for them. We don't need to intervene nearly as much as we hope to, as we think we need to. You can trust him to speak that way to you. You can trust him to speak that way to others. And having experienced that, having heard that, men, it will shape the way you speak to, the way you engage, the way you assess those in your charge. Not rigidly, not impersonally, but relationally. Out of the overflow of knowing and caring about who they are. He speaks regularly. He speaks personally. But third, all of that does raise the question, if he knows everything about me perfectly, earthly dads try, he knows it in full. If he knows everything about me, everything I've ever done, why would he still be in relationship with me? How could he still be in relationship with me? Third, he speaks graciously. He has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. This passage is one of the servant songs in the book of Isaiah. I said I was going to give you one main verse, but here are just a few of the ones that follow. If you look down below verse 4, if you look down to verses 5 and 6, we read, "The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting." And suddenly, once again, we realize, like all of the great servant song passages, these words are not just true of you, not just true of men humanly in the first place. These are words in the first place that are true of Jesus Christ. He offered his back to those who beat him. He gave his cheeks to those who pulled out his beard. He did not hide his face from mocking and spitting. And the reason why he did that all the way to the cross was he was being obedient to the Father's voice. He was listening to his Father. From eternity past, Father, Son, Holy Spirit came up with this great plan of redemption where they would save sinners and God would display his glory by the Father speaking, the Son listening and obeying. And of course, the idea of listening is not just I hear it and then it doesn't change anything, but it is I hear it in order to do it. Our basketball coach used to have this expression where when one of us would do a boneheaded play, he would yell out, "Get your head out of your duffel bag." That's what he would say sometimes. The other way he would say it, I can't repeat to you from up here. "Get your head out of your duffel bag." Or the way parents would say it, some parents, "Dig out your ears." Right? That's the translation in Psalm 40, this related passage I mentioned earlier. Dig out your ears. Listen. Not just know it, but listen obediently. Do what I've told you to do. And Jesus Christ did it perfectly. He said, "My ears have been dug out my whole life. My ears have been opened. I have been perfectly obedient to the Father." And the great plan of redemption is that when he was perfectly obedient, he went through that suffering that verses 5 and 6 mention, even though he had never rebelled, that his obedience would stand in the gap for yours, would do the work of opening your ears, and then the Holy Spirit, when you hear these words, would take and apply his work and use it to open your ears spiritually. We sang it earlier. "Thank you, oh my Father, for sending your Son and leaving your Spirit until your work on earth is done." It's his opened ears, his obedient ears, that open ours and give you a love for his word, an ability to hear it, and access into the presence of the Father that you might hear. I pray for all of us and for men. Seeing and hearing what Christ has done by his Holy Spirit even now, give you a love for his word and a desire. He would say, a desire to do your will is within my heart. And yes, you waken me morning by morning by morning to hear your voice and speak in turn to those in my charge. Let's pray together to that end. Father God, oh, we praise you for the work you have done, for your grace and speech. I praise you that you are a communicating God, and for your Son willingly, gladly obeying what you prepared for him to do, stepping into that body and in that body, living in our place, dying in our place, and then rising again. You have sent your Spirit. I pray by your Spirit, speak to us now in this gathering. Speak to us day after day. We confess so often your voice we allow to get crowded out by everything else going on. Graciously disallow that. Strip those other things away. Dig out our ears. Open them and awaken us to hear your voice. How great is your love for us that you would do these things. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.